Chapter 7. The tresses, and the air was damp but made my curls hang slack as they kissed my neck and back, while I footed the salt air track I loved to tramp. And it was dry they would roll up crisp, and tight as I went on in the light of the sun, which my own sprite seemed to outvie. Oh, I am old, and of not one gay curl as I had, when a girl for dampness, to unfurl her sun uphold. The photograph. The flame crept up the portrait line by line as it lay on the coals in the silence of nights profound, and over the arm's incline, and along the marge of the silkwork superfine, and gnawed at the delicate bosom's defenseless round. Then I vented a cry of hurt, and averted my eyes. The spectacle was one that I could not bear, to my deep and sad surprise. But, compelled to heed, I again looked furtive-wise till the flame had eaten her breasts, and mouth, and hair. Thank God, she is out of it now, I said at last, in a great relief of heart, when the thing was done that had set my soul aghast, and nothing was left of the picture unsheathed from the past, but the ash and ghost of the card it had figured on. She was a woman long hid amid packs of years, she might have been living or dead. She was lost to my sight, and the deed, that had nigh drawn tears was done in a casual clearance of life's arrears. But I felt as if I had put her to death that night. Well, she knew nothing thereof did she survive, and suffered nothing, if numbered among the dead. Yet if on earth alive did she feel a smart, and with vague strange anguish strive? If in heaven, did she smile at me sadly, and shake her head? On the heath, I could hear a gown skirt rustling, before I could see her shape, rustling through the heather that wove the common's drape, on that evening of dark weather when I hearkened, lips agape. And the town shine in the distance did, but baffle hear the sight, and then a voice flew forward. Dear, is you? I fear the night. And the herons flapped to norward and the firs upon my right. There was another looming whose life we did not see. There was one stilly blooming full night who where walked we, there was a shade entombing all that was bright of me. An anniversary, it was at the very date to which we have come, in the month of the matching name, when, at a like minute, the sun had upswum, its couch time at night being the same. And the same path stretched here that people now follow, and the same stile crossed their way, and beyond the same green hillock, and hollow the same horizon lay. And the same man pilgrims now hereby who pilgrimed here that day. Let so much be said of the day's sameness, but the tree, that neighbors the track, and stoops like a peddler afflicted with lameness, knew of no sogged wound or wind crack. And the joints of that wall were not enshrouded with mosses of many tones, and the garth up afar was not overcrowded with a multitude of white stones, and the man's eyes then were not so sunk that you saw the socket bones. Kingston Morward Ewelis. By the runic stone, too, who became a story. By the runic stone they sat, where the grass sloped down, and chattered, he white-hatted, she in brown, pink-faced, breeze-blown. Wrapped there alone in the transport of talking so in such a place, there was nothing to let them know what hours had flown. And the die thrown by them heedlessly there, the dent it was to cut in their encompassment, were to, unknown. It might have strewn their zest with qualms to see, as in a glass, time toss their history from zone to zone. The pink frock, oh my pretty pink frock, I shan't be able to wear it. Why is he dying just now? I hardly can bear it. He might have contrived to live on, but they say there's no hope whatever. And must I shut myself up, and go out never? Oh my pretty pink frock, puff-sleeved and accordion pleated. He might have passed in July, and not so cheated. Transformations. Portion of this ewe is a man my grandsire knew, bosomed here at its foot. This branch may be his wife. A ruddy human life now turned to a green shoot. These grasses must be made of her who often prayed, last century, for repose, and the fair girl long ago whom I often tried to know may be entering this rose. So, they are not underground, but as nerves and veins abound in the growths of upper air, and they feel the sun and rain, and the energy again that made them what they were. In her precincts, her house looked cold from the foggy lee, and the square of each window a dull black blur where showed no stir. Yes, her gloom within at the lack of me seemed matching mine at the lack of her. The black squares grew to be squares of light as the eye shade swathed the house and lawn, and viols gave tone. There was glee within. And I found that night the gloom of severance mine alone. Kingston Moorward Park. The Last Signal, October 11, 1886, a memory of William Barnes. Silently I footed by an uphill road that led from my abode to a spot dew bowed. Yellowly the sun sloped low down to westward, and dark was the east with cloud. Then, amid the shadow of that livid sad east, where the light was least, and a gate stood wide, something flashed the fire of the sun that was facing it, like a brief blaze on that side. Looking hard and harder I knew what it meant, the sudden shine sent from the livid east scene. It meant the west mirrored by the coffin of my friend there, turning to the road from his green, to take his last journey forth he who in his prime trudged, so many a time from that gate athwart the land. Thus a farewell to me, he signaled on his grave way, as with a wave of his hand. Winterburn came past. The house of silence, had as a quiet place, that house in the trees with the shady lawn. If, child, you knew what there goes on, you would not call it a quiet place. Why, a phantom abides there, the last of its race, and a brain spins there till dawn. But I see nobody there, nobody moves about the green, or wanders the heavy trees between. Ah, that's because you do not bear the visioning powers of souls who dare to pierce the material screen. Morning, noon, and night, mid those funereal shades that seem the uncanny scenery of a dream, figures dance to a mind with sight, and music and laughter like floods of light make all the precincts gleam. T is a poet's bower, through which there pass, in fleet arrays, long teams of all the years and days, of joys and sorrows, of earth and heaven, that meet mankind in its ages seven, an aeon in an hour. Great things, sweet cider is a great thing to me, spinning down to Weymouth Town by Ridgeway thirstily, and maid and mistress summoning who tend the hostelry. Oh, cider is a great thing to me. The dance it is a great thing to me, with candles lit and partners fit for night-long revelry, and going home when day dawning peeps pale upon the lee. Oh, dancing is a great thing to me. Love is, yea, a great thing to me. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.